The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. Sometimes more than daily. In instance, for instance, this case, we got a bonus Monday, May 11th episode. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host, and we are going to talk. This is gambling week. Gambling. Woo! We're going to talk some NFL point spreads for week one. That's already in the feed. We're going to do division by division win totals coming up tomorrow, NFC East and AFC East with RJ White. And we'll keep moving through those throughout the week. And now, as part of a special bonus app, we're going to talk to William Hill, Director of Trading, Nick Bogdanovich, about all things related to sportsbook activity. Of course, things are a little different these days because of the corona situation. You can't go in a casino anywhere yet. And I don't believe. And also, you know, you download the William Hill mobile app and do it, do your gambling there. But, you know, it's just a different bit of an off season. But nevertheless, we find out what teams are getting some action and, you know, who else is interesting from a sports book director standpoint. All right, joining us now, Nick Bogdanovich, Director of Trading at William Hill. Can you, Nick, for the layman out, I don't know if it's a layman, maybe describe in layman's terms what Director of Trading means specifically as it results to your work in the sports book.
Yeah, I guess that's a fancy title for a bookmaker. I assess all the risk and analyze customers. I'm also in charge of the media, so I do a lot of interviews, whether it be phone, print, telephone. So that's my basic roles for William Hill.
Cool. And I guess people, you know, like I think people understand the basic construct of what's going on at the sports book, but I am curious, like, how has this been? I mean, this seems like a nobly Sherlock question, but like, I mean, obviously it's been different. What have been the real differences with the corona situation going on aside from just no sports? I mean, what is this and this off season specifically to the NFL? Maybe how different has it been for you guys trying to sort of drum up interest, et cetera?
Yeah. I mean, obviously COVID has thrown everyone for a loop. We're no different. Just trying to come up with different things for them to bet on. But as far as the NFL, I would say betting is down right now just because of the uncertainty factor. People don't want to tie their money up because they don't know there's going to be a season. So there's a lot of people right now that have NBA over under bets and NHL over under bets and division bets, and they don't know where they stand because of this animal. So they're not really rushing to the mobile app to bet NFL futures. So, and I can't blame them for that. So as soon as we get some certainty, and Goodell and them, you know, put out a concrete schedule, I do expect betting to pick up big then.
Hypothetically speaking, for, I don't know, somebody who has the Suns over, what do you think the general plan will be for these NBA futures? Let's say, I mean, if they finish out a full season, obviously you play it out, right? But what happens if they say, all right, the season's done, we're firing back up at Christmas?
Yeah, that there's a lot of people right now with a winning ticket that may play real unlucky, and there's a lot of people with some losing tickets right now that might play real lucky. So they're definitely monitoring that situation. So, you know, it looks like, I pray they finish the regular season But if I'm a betting man, I'd say no. And then all those over under betting tickets would be a refund.
All right. That probably plays into some of what the NFL decision making too here is like, well, like I don't want to go and drop, let's say you love the Cardinals over like I do, you don't want to go and tie up, $650 or whatever it is with the juice on the over, if there's only a 14 game NFL season, which we don't really know what there's going to be quite yet, that it would probably ultimately end up being canceled. You're better off going and putting in a mutual fund, right?
Yeah, a lot of people have that mindset for sure. I do think we'll see an NFL season. Obviously, the basketball and hockey came in the middle, so they had no say about it. Whether they start on time in the NFL is another story. I do think they'll play all 16 games, whether it starts in September or October. But I just believe that once they know and say this is what we're going to do, then that'll unleash them, and then they'll start making wagers pretty strong.
Okay, fair enough. And look, hey, I think people will like to hear your confidence in that 16-game season. I would agree with you, too. I think the way that they built that trap door in during the early part of the schedule is such that if they need to, they'll just bump it back to late September, and you roll forward there, and you finish it up in late February. The NFL likes money. They got a bunch of rich dudes who like money. They got a bunch of partnerships. They got TV deals coming up. They want to get paid. You guys were really proactive this year, I think more so than even in the past, about getting win totals out early. Doing that without the schedule even released, how tough is that to get those out there? And how confident do you feel in them? How aggressively do you want to move them once you see the schedule? How does that play into it? Because it does matter being a market setter for sportsbooks these days, right?
Yeah, no question. We put them out way, way earlier just for some content. So the number was harder to make, but on the flip side, it was just as hard for the bettor to make the evaluation as well. And then we also had the fact that people didn't want to tie their money up. So it wasn't like they were storming down the windows to bet into some soft numbers, but we knew who they were going to play. We just didn't know when and where. So it made it a little more difficult, but like I said, with the other factors, it really helped us out.
On a normal year, and again, we'll hopefully be able to revisit this without the extenuating circumstances, maybe next offseason. But I'm curious, when you get the schedule comes out and the win totals are out, how quickly are you looking to move those numbers based on whether it's heavy public action or heavily sharp action, or are you trying to say you want to stay true to your number? I know a good example, maybe last year, I think the Bills opened up at not necessarily with you guys, just as a general market discussion at the over under was 6 or 5.5 or 6, and it quickly got up to almost 7 or 7.5, and it was just kept being juiced up and juiced up. How aggressive do you guys want to be in moving those markets?
Yeah, we'll be fast. Anytime you put a market up early with a lot of unknowns, if we get some professional money, we'll move it super fast. That's just the way it is every year. And then obviously you base it on information and money after that. But yeah, we'll definitely be move it aggressive early.
Have you gotten any heavy professional? I know you said most people are staying away, but I'm just curious if you had any guys or any bets that stood out to you on specific win totals once that schedule came out.
Now we're taking a couple of dimes to it, but we've had some movement. I mean, they like Arizona over. You mentioned that earlier. I think we opened 6.5 over 40. We're up to over 7 over 30. And
oh, wow.
Carolina Panthers, they're betting that one over 5.5, I think under a quarter to 5.5 over. They're betting it. I mean, Tampa Bay, I guess, is a big move. We opened 9 over 30. We're up to 9.5 over 30. So anything Tampa Bay over is going to be hot. I mean, we're going to be fading Tampa Bay all year if they get off to a halfway decent start, which I think they will. So we'll be rooting against Brady again, just in a different uniform.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, it's the same story, right? Different team when it comes to Tom Brady and not being a fan of the books. What about the Patriots? Conversely, Brady leaves. Are there people looking to fade the Patriots? I'm sort of bullish on them relative to, I think, the general opinion or the general consensus, but it sure seems like a lot of people want to expect the Patriots to tank or fade this year.
Well, we actually got the Bills the lowest price in the division, which is probably the first time in about 15 years. So people were definitely down on New England, but I wouldn't sell them too short. They still got the best coach in the NFL. They still got a good defense. They still got the best special team. So if Stidham can give them anything whatsoever, they're still in probably the weakest division. I mean, we're talking about Jets and Miami. Buffalo's obviously pretty good. So I wouldn't sell Belichick so short. If they get any kind of quarterback play, I think they'll be right there.
Indeed. You guys had an interesting thing that you dropped out there, and you know, it was a strength of schedule, and it was based on not, you know, like a lot of times we see strengths of schedule. It's like, here's who they, you know, their opponent's record from the year before, which doesn't mean, I mean, jack crap. Like it, like congratulations on going 10-6 last year. Doesn't mean anything. What matters is your win total moving forward. And you guys did the win, like for instance, the Atlanta Falcons, the combined opponent win totals at William Hill is 138, meaning they have the hardest strength of, they have the highest number of wins expected from their opponents. Is that something you guys have used frequently in the past or consistently in the past and just maybe now sort of putting it on the public front there? Or is it a new different way to determine strength of schedule? Just kind of curious about the process there.
Yeah, I mean, you could do it either way. But I think what you alluded to earlier is more correct than anything. Strength of schedule is very tricky. Obviously, it's based on what happened last year, not what's going to happen this year. So about halfway through the schedule, you may have thought you had an easy one, and then all of a sudden you're looking up and it's really hard. And on the flip side, so, you know, you got to, it's just one more factor to look at, but you definitely, you got to be very wary of that.
And for those curious, the Indianapolis Colts, my guy, Philly Rivers, have the easiest schedule by win totals, Tennessee Titans next, Browns, and then the Ravens, the Falcons, Giants, Panthers, Broncos, and Jets / Raiders have the hardest schedules according to William Hill win totals. You guys put up week one odds quick. I mean, I think 15, 20 minutes after the schedule drops, right? How much early action do you get on those week one lines? And again, you know, it's a different off season than it normally would be. People don't want to tie their money up quite as much, but a lot of those lines, people look at them and say, wow, I'm surprised it's there. I'm going to jump on it now, right?
Very little movement so far. You mentioned the Colts earlier with the easiest strength of schedule. They're our biggest liability for AFC futures. We open them like 40, they're down to 20. And right now we lose a pretty big number if the Colts win the AFC. So if Rivers finds himself in a pretty good position, I still think they got some nice pieces and their defense looks pretty good. And I love Frank Reich. So yeah, keep an eye out for the Colts with their schedule. But as far as week one, I think it boils back to the same theme. People not looking to tie their money up right now in uncertain times because they don't know if that week one's going to be September 9th or October 9th, as Peter King just dropped a tweet saying they might be looking at October for the start of the season.
No, good Lord. Just now? That's not what we needed to hear.
No.
That's fine, though. You know, week one is week one. So as long as it, you know, hopefully gets going, that would be good no matter what. He spoke to Dr. Fauci for his Football Morning in America column on Monday, and certainly not optimistic news if you're a fan of football. You know, what about, you mentioned the Colts and the AFC. Is there anybody else that you guys have liability on from an MVP standpoint or an award standpoint, or even, you know, a future team standpoint outside of maybe Indy and Tampa Bay?
You know, the MVP voting's been interesting as of late. It's something we've only been able to book for the last couple of years. And I think a couple of long shots have come in. But Tom Brady's drawn some early love in the MVP voting, believe it or not. And that's rare for a 42-year-old. I don't know. You know, but he's at like 20-1. And Kyler Murray's at 20-1. The two favorites, obviously, are the two best players in the game, Mahomes and Jackson. So we'll see if they can put back to incredible seasons. But yeah, if I'm voting for something like that, look for a long shot who has a decent week one or week two and try to catch the bookmakers with their pants down and try to get an 80-1 shot.
Yeah, because like both Lamar and Mahomes, at least when they opened up, were like 60 or 70-1, and then eventually by the time the season started down to like, you know, in the 20s or 30s, the range there, I felt like Kyler might have been that guy, but it seems like everybody's a little wary of those longer shots and he got quickly adjusted down to 25-1 or 20-1.
Yeah, he's down to 20-1 and they added arguably the best receiver in football, DeAndre Hopkins. His second year in the league, he figures to be a little more at ease. And I thought he looked pretty good at the end. So yeah, I could see where he's definitely live.
You mentioned the Bucks and the Patriots. Has you got any action on that Bucks minus a half a win versus the Pats? People, I just wonder if people just wanted some sort of Schadenfreude, Belichick versus Brady bet going on.
Just a little bit. A lot of, we took an early bet and we moved it fast. But again, the same old theme. They're going to be betting on Tampa and against New England. So it's not a shock that the money moved that way.
Do you anticipate maybe smart money, sharp money coming in on the Saints as a reverse play against the Buccaneers? Or do you think it's just going to be a Tampa tidal wave?
You know, I think it'll be a good two-way action game. First of all, New Orleans is still really, really good, arguably as good a team as they've been in the last 3 or 4 years. They've had a lot of heartbreak, but they're at home where they're a monster, and they know that they have to take care of that division game early. Big question is, will there be fans? I mean, 60,000 crazy Saints fans in there. Tampa catches a big break if there's no fans in there. So, but that's a huge game to decide the NFC South for sure. But, you know, we got Saints 4.5. I made it like 6. I could see it a little higher, but just knowing that there'll be Tampa money out there, we opened a little lower.
Oh, wow. All right, one more for you then. You mentioned the fans. If, I think it's an impossible thing to do because if there are no fans in there, you're taking away 3 points minimum of home field advantage, probably. How did you guys build that? Did you just build regular lines? You're like, all right, we'll just adjust if there aren't fans.
Exactly. I wouldn't say stuck in the middle, but sort of a little less than normal home fan, home value. Okay. We're like waiting for everyone else. Will there or will there not be fans in the seats, week one? And if I was a betting man, I'd have to bet no.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, I think we were sort of talking about on the podcast last week. If I'm trying to think what the example, there was somebody who's a 10 point dog or something, or like, you know, I mean, like if you got a team at home that's, you know, like favored by 3 or 4, and you like the road team coming in as a better team, take them on the money line, because there just might not be that home field advantage, and it might eventually close as a pickup or something.
No question. The very first game you're talking about is Kansas City and Houston. Yeah,
exactly.
Kansas City is a 10.5 point favorite, and Kansas City is one of the biggest home field advantages in all of football. It's like 4.5 points. The crowd's insane there. So, I mean, if there's no crowds and they're just playing in an empty stadium, that game's probably going to be like 8.
Yep. And you know, the other one I was thinking of too was Minnesota Green Bay, where Minnesota has that tremendous home field advantage. They're a 3.5 point favorite, but if you plop them out on a cornfield in Iowa, it's probably a pick 'em. And maybe the Packers are favored by 1 because of the public sentiment.
Yeah, I mean, there's some sports, obviously, like NASCAR and golf, that you can get away with no fans. But boy, it'll be hard watching a football game with no fans.
No doubt about it. All right, Nick Bogdanovich, Director of Trading at William Hill. Thank you so much for taking the time, man. Look forward to getting closer to football. Hopefully it starts on time, and hopefully we will get people flooding the old app and back to the brick and mortars to put some bets down on football.
Sounds good to me.
The hit Paramount Plus original docuseries returns.
The last time I saw Max, he looked at us laughing, and then everything changed in a blink of an eye.
My feeling as a detective is that he was murdered.
Yahoo Entertainment calls it a spine-chilling docuseries showcasing real-life tragedies.
What about when your child who went missing?
We need to know the truth.
Never seen again. Now streaming on Paramount+.